It's always a blessing to me to gather in this sanctuary, the wood, the high ceiling, the stained glass, family of faith. It's a blessing to gather in here for worship each week. But if we really want to get what Jesus has to say in our passage today, we really ought to be outside. It may be a little cool for some of you to go move outside onto the lawn. But today's passage invites us into an object lesson. Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. And if we're really going to grasp what Jesus has to say today, we might be even better to be up in the mountains, enjoying the peak of color on the leaves, looking from the side of a hill out at the wonderful mountains, to be down at the coast, watching the ocean and the seagulls. I know some of you have already mentally checked out, and that's okay. For if there's ever a day to let your mind wander, this is the passage that invites it. But I do know if we went outside, you probably wouldn't listen to me, and that's okay. Because Jesus invites us in the midst of the world in which we live to look around us, to pay attention, to see detail, the beauty of His creation. And if we went outside and you spent time looking at the colors of the leaves and the flowers and listening for the birds, you're on your way to getting the point that Jesus is making. This passage comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most profound teachings uttered by Jesus, talking about what it means to live Christ-like lives. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are filled with powerful reminders of the kind of life God calls us to live. And in the midst of this, the first part of our reading today warns us to be careful about where we focus our lives, to be careful about focusing our lives on accumulating money and stuff, material things, telling us we've got to choose whom we'll serve. Jesus, who warns us a number of times in the Gospels to be careful of the way wealth and money can influence us and affect us and pull us away from God, tells us we need to focus our lives on serving God instead of accumulating stuff, instead of getting the things of the world. He's calling us to prioritize our lives, to focus our lives on the things that are God's, to give our lives to someone and not some things. And then He hits us right where many of us struggle. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Multiple times in these short verses, He tells us, do not worry. It's actually good advice. Doctors and mental health professionals tell us that worry can cause us physical problems. Somewhere along the way, I wish I'd been the one who invented the various kinds of antacids that people take for ulcers and things caused by the anxiety we live with. And even children's focused movies like The Lion King include popular songs Hakuna Matata, no worries, inviting us, as we heard at the beginning of the service, no worries for the rest of your lives. It's a problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Some of you were dancing, and that was fun to watch. Of course, as nice as that sounds, we know that the world does have problems. It's not a problem-free world. We look around, and in recent weeks, we've seen violence, we've seen war, we've recognized the reality of terrorism, we've seen flooding, we recognize that problems are real. We live in a world where there is poverty and hunger, where people are in jail, where there are people hurting. It's not as simple as just declaring a problem-free philosophy. But still, with all of the things that weigh on us, big scale things and personal things, we hear the invitation, do not worry about your life. If I asked you this morning to take your bulletin and work on a list of the things that worry you, how long would your list be? Some of you are probably tied up in knots over various things this morning. What are the things that worry you? What are the things that cause you anxiety? What are the things that weigh on us and cause us struggle? In the midst of the struggles of life, Jesus still tells us, do not worry about your life. And then he says, look at the birds of the air. See the lilies of the field. Now, at first glance, this may not seem all that compelling. After all, birds and flowers don't have mortgage payments to make. They don't have to worry about health care costs rising, grocery bills. They don't live with all of the details that we live with. But Jesus isn't saying to imitate the birds and the lilies. He's asking us to look at them, to consider them. The Greek word used for look and see here is a strong word, calling us to study diligently, to scrutinize, to observe closely, to pay attention to. And in this context, he's not telling us to be like the birds, but to see the birds, to see the lilies, and recognize if God pays attention to these things, how much more can we learn to trust that he wants to take care of us? Jesus is highlighting the difference between the birds and the lilies and we as human creations. If God takes care of the birds and the flowers, how much more do we assume he cares about us? And the phrase translated lilies of the field really has a sense in that time period of referring to something that wasn't particularly worthwhile. In essence, he's saying, look at these wild flowers out in the field. They live a short time, they're gone, they're not worth much. But God pays attention to them. How much more can we recognize the goodness of God in His desire to care for us? God decorates the flowers with great beauty, even though their lifespan is short. He says, look at these things, study these things, think about these things. So I invite you to do that with me this morning. Think about the birds. Think of the question I asked the children, what are your favorite birds? And think about the diversity of the birds. All the different kinds and colors and shapes. As I said to the children, how could God think of flamingos and ostriches and penguins? How could God think of the different kinds and colors of birds, and then to put a song in them that varies from type to type, and at times can bring smiles to our faces with its beauty. Think about flowers. Every week, Jan Mangum puts gorgeous flowers in front of us. Look at these, the different couple different colors, and how beautiful they are, and that God took the time to create these flowers. Think about all the different colors and types of flowers, and how each spring God offers a new gift of flowers to the world, reminding us of His attention to detail. Think about all the different kinds of trees God created, some of which are changing color and some of which stay green year-round. And in these days and weeks, we'll see not just green, but bright yellow and orange and red. Think about all that God has placed in this world. The different kinds of animals. I mentioned with the children giraffes that fascinate me. I mean, how could you not like tall, awkward creatures? And hippopotamuses or hippopotami. I think they're both right. And dolphins and starfish. And all the different kinds of animals God created to live in this world. And then created animals like dogs and cats that become part of our families and remind us at times what unconditional love can look like. God could have created the world with just the basics, just what was required to get by. Maybe God felt the need to create birds, but He didn't have to create all the different kinds. And maybe birds need to make a noise to stake out territory and attract a mate, but God didn't have to give the great variety of songs that come out of different kinds of birds. Though I confess that there are times when the Canada geese in the neighborhood seem to be having choir practice at 10:30 at night, that it isn't all that pretty. But God gave all these different sounds and songs to different kinds of birds. God perhaps needed to create the world where the sun goes around the earth each day. But He created it so that as the sun disappears behind the horizon, there are various shades of yellow and red and purple, a sunset that shows God painting for us beautiful images. God created a world not just with what we have to have, but with beauty and attention to detail. When I was little, I saw all the old pictures and black and white and old black and white movies, and as a child, maybe some of you did too, I assumed, well, the world used to be black and white and God only invented color not too long ago. Of course, I learned better than that. God could have created the world in black and white and we wouldn't have known the difference. God could have created the world with only the 8 colors of the small Crayola box of crayons. But God created a world with even more colors than the big box of crayons. This doesn't even begin to touch all the colors God put into the world. A gift for His children. God created mountains and oceans, forests and deserts, daylight and nighttime. God created beauty all around us. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. Now, Jesus isn't pretending life isn't difficult. He understands that there are problems, disasters, evil, hatred. He Himself was put on a cross to die. But even in the midst of the problems of life, Jesus says, pay attention to the little gifts that God gives us. Pay attention to the creativity God showed in creating the world. Not only does God provide birds of the air and flowers and lilies of the field, He places them before us as reminders that He pays attention to the details. God created the world and the galaxies beyond what we can see. And yet we're told at the same time that God knows the number of hairs on our heads. Easier with some than others. God pays attention to the details. God created the world filled with beauty. Have you ever sent flowers to someone? Why? to let them know you love them, to encourage them, to remind them that you care about them. God sends us flowers over and over again as a reminder that He is still in the business of creating. He gives us seasons of the year as a reminder that even as we see fall turn into winter, spring is always coming. And so in the midst of the challenges and struggles and worries of life, God says, pay attention to the details. The birds, the lilies, the animals, the trees, sunsets. And remember that if God cares about those details, how much more will He promise that He cares for us and will walk with us? In recent years, extreme sports have become very popular. Athletes who push the limits in ways that I never had the guts to try. Whether jumping on motorcycles, doing things on skis that sound crazy. I was reading a couple years ago, there was an article about what they call extreme skiing. People who, after a fresh snow, go up to the top of the mountain and they're not looking for the ski slopes everybody else uses. They go find an area filled with trees and they just take off trying to dodge trees on their way down the mountain in a path that nobody else has followed. There have been deaths and injuries doing things like that. Tim Etchells, who wrote the article, talked about the mindset of those who tackle this dangerous thing of heading off down on skis into a wooded area, trying to just dodge any tree they come at. And he said, what you focus your eyes on becomes critical in the woods. Look at the spaces between the trees, the exits where you hope to be traveling. Don't look at the trees, look at where you want to go. And Kim Reichelm, who's an extreme skier and has won all kinds of skiing awards, an expert in this, says the secret is not to stare at what you don't want to hit. The secret is not to stare at what you don't want to hit. Jesus is saying, don't stare at the things you don't want to hit. Don't worry. Instead, he says, to counteract the call not to worry, he calls us to seek first the kingdom of God. To focus on God's goodness, on God's blessing, to look not at the problems, but at the evidence of God at work. Instead of focusing on the things that might go wrong and the things that cause us anxiety, seek first God's kingdom. Seek and focus on the presence and promises of God. And pay attention to where God is leading and where God is guiding. It comes down to how we focus our lives, what we pay attention to. And Jesus invites us, do not worry, but seek first the kingdom of God. This is, I think, for most of us, an ongoing challenge through life. It's not as simple as just saying it's a problem-free philosophy, because there are problems. But even in the struggles, God promises we're not alone. It doesn't promise that bad things won't happen, but that God is with us and that we are safe in His kingdom's care. It certainly isn't advice that we can go out and be reckless. I'm not holding up and saying we all go to ski into a tree. It was Satan who put Jesus up on the top of the temple and said, jump off and see if the angels will catch you. But we are called to live lives of faith, seeking God, trusting God, believing that if God could create cardinals and bluebirds and blue herons and green herons and ducks and penguins, He can pay attention to the details we'll encounter as well. If God can create the vast number of flowers and the beauty in this world, how much more, Jesus says, can we trust Him, seek Him, and believe He is the one who will take care of us? Will you pray with me? Help us to focus our eyes where they need to be, dear Lord, to trust in You, to seek You. Help us let go of our tendency to focus on problems and give us eyes to see Your beauty, Your faithfulness, Your care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.